Welcome to episode 198 of Fourth and John. We are talking press conferences. Press conferences. Not a game. Not a game. Press conferences. We might be talking rock, paper, scissors, shoot. We might be talking about three alpha males on the stage telling you how they feel about the draft process and what's in store for Eagles Nation. Again, it's a press conference, and you know, I guess Eagle fans out there will get hype or get feel a certain way about how Nick Sirianni speaks. They might talk about Howie and him peacocking out there, showing his feathers, trying to speak to the people and kind of set you up and make you feel good. It was a dog and pony show, man. They have to put out this kind of message to make you feel good before the draft. I mean, some people were like, are they going to speak? Are they going to talk to us? Are they going to give us any nuggets? No, they're not. Are they going to tell you that Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles? No, they're not. Because why would they? I mean, they have to make it look good for the people out there in drafts on other teams. Hey, we might be a QB hungry team. Let them think that. But obviously it's a press conference. Can we start, off of the rock, scissors, paper, shoot?
Rock, paper, scissors, yeah.
You guys ready? Can you do that with three people? Can you do that with three
people? Why not? Okay. We'll do a little competition. Whoever's the odd man out, he sits out the next round.
Okay, go ahead.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. All right, well, I'm a loser.
You're out of here.
I'm out of here.
You're not really a competitor anyway. Me and Prime, rock. Scissors, paper, shoot.
He messes it up every time.
Yeah, every time.
He can't get it in the right order.
Rock, scissors, paper, shoot. This guy.
Let's go, man.
Rock, scissors,
paper, scissors, shoot.
Shoot. All right, I lost.
All right.
I lost.
Thank God that's over with. And you know what? Thank God that one press conference is over with from yesterday, because I felt the same way. I feel relieved now that both of them are over. I mean, every single appearance that we see out of Nick Sirianni, I'm not going to lie to you. I just, something in the back of my mind just tells me, is speaking to me, is like, is this the guy? Is this the guy? I'm having that reassurance that just voice in the back of my head. And I got to be honest with you. He hasn't done much to impress me and get me really fired up to be an Eagles fan for this upcoming season. The whole press conference, whether it be him just kind of pushing all the questions aside, how he taking them, him not really having the reins at all, whether it be the whole rock, paper, scissors comment. I mean, obviously we sit here and we joke about that, but I'm not reading too much into that. I don't think that him liking the game rock, paper, scissors necessarily means that he's going to bring that into his player evaluations. But, dude, it's just not making me feel any better. These press conferences are supposed to make me feel better about this team. The job is simply no. Well, are they supposed to make me feel worse?
Are they supposed to amuse you?
It's about convincing.
It's about having communication and transparency with the fan base, is it not? Is that not the whole point of a press conference?
I mean,
is to be transparent with the fan base?
I mean, that's the dog and pony show. That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's for you. Like, if you need to feel good about a dog and pony show, then feel great, pal. Because at the end of the day, I want them to coach well, have unity in the locker room. That's what I care about. I don't. Like, this to me is the dog and pony show. So if you need to feel better about
the
presentation, do it on the field.
I totally get that. And I'm willing to give Nick Sirianni the time, and I want to see what he actually does on the field. But we just have such a small sample size to work with. I don't have anything but my own thoughts and my own ambitions for this team. And when, you know, the head coach is out here saying some stupid shit.
Wow, this guy. I thought the younger generation, you're supposed to be very in tune with, you know.
Gullible? Is that the word you're looking for?
I'm not saying gullible, but you're just supposed to be socially aware.
I think I'm a pretty socially aware person.
Prime's a little older. Prime, are you feeling a certain way about that? Or the conversation that was had, or did you need to be amused? Did you need to be...
It, I,
I was amused. I was amused regardless. The very beginning, I'm watching these three, and it was like, all right, here we go. Andy just seemed like he kept on repeating the same answer to every single question. Then Howie, I was honestly waiting to find out when our coach was even going to talk, because Howie just like had everything pretty much coordinated. Like, all right, look, I'm going to go ahead and answer question number 3 and 1, and you got number 2. And I'm sitting there like, dude, when are you going to go ahead and let Nick talk? Like, but man, I could see why he ended up waiting to let Nick talk, because I mean, the guy was just unstoppable talking. He was just all over the place. He killed me with the rock, paper, scissors shoot. And then like, it was just like, he just reminded me of like that geek that I fucks with. That geek that I fucks with, like that's who he reminded me of yesterday. Like, dude, you were geek, but I fucks with you.
He flipped the script. I thought Prime was gonna take him down a rabbit hole, but he said he messes with the idea of a coach that is excited. I'm saying, you know, what I got from him was it was coach-splaining. Because you're trying to get an idea of who is actually Sirianni as a coach, person, or a personality that might be in that locker room. You know, he could be a teacher in that perspective. Could he relate to the players better? He's a little bit younger. But overall, it's like being in the locker room from like high school to college and just having certain players, especially certain coaches, especially in college, that, you know, you got a certain feel from, you know, like I can go back, you know, as many years ago when I was playing in college to figure out which coach actually that I had that made it to the NFL, that are coaching the NFL or was coaching at Penn State or Boston College, like big schools out there. They had a vibe to them and you either related to them or you didn't. Some guys who were just like straight out of high school trying to make it to the next level and coach you, they're still coaching high school. But bro, at the end of the day, if he can vibe with the players in the locker room and he can get the communication back and the culture back, I mean, people laughed at Carroll when he was a little rah-rah Pete Carroll when he came from USC. Mm-hmm. Again, that to me, the whole press conference was really about talking about putting on the show, and it some of the answers that they gave out kind of were from that article that recently dropped, talking about that marriage between the coaching department and the scouting department. And they kind of like were trying to hammer that home to you to make you feel about, hey man, we got unity over here.
Yeah. Yeah. But I kind of want to just poke some holes in that real quick, because while I sit here with my jaded, you know, young self, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, okay, so what episodes have we really done recently? What have we talked about? We've talked about how Doug Peterson, when he was here, he didn't really have control, even in the practices, how there was a lot of meddling going on between the owner, the GM. They were always involved in the practices. What was another thing that we heard about Doug Peterson? That he was a player's coach. That's partially the reason that he was brought here. And it certainly seemed that a lot of players liked him. And now I'm looking at this whole new scenario with that information, and I'm seeing, okay, so Howie Roseman is pretty much taking Nick Sirianni's questions and taking the reins on the whole conversation. Why am I to believe that he's not going to apply that same sort of taking the reins when it comes down to practices? And we're not going to be in the same exact boat we were in before, where the GM and the owner are once again meddling, because they just, it seems to me, if they don't want to let him answer questions, they don't fully trust this guy. And if they don't fully trust this guy, then why would they not be meddling in the practices again?
We're in trouble. We're in trouble if that's the case. And I mean, I totally agree with you. The thing is like, you're sitting there and you're like, I see a puppeteer once again, you know what I mean? Like, oh, they wow. had it. Yeah. I mean, like, look, I see the enthusiasm and I'm with it. I'm really am. But you could tell in that press conference, there was like moments, like I felt like Howie was giving him that wink, like, yo, shut the fuck up. I got it from here. All right. And that's
like, I don't like banana routes, right? I don't like the, we're going to roll into it.
Oh, bro. Like, I mean, people like the enthusiasm.
I do like his enthusiasm.
Yeah, and Chris, look, I'm going to be one to give him a chance. Show me what you could do out on the field. All right, I am all about that.
And I want to further explain myself in saying that it's not that I think that Nick Sirianni's a bad coach. I love his enthusiasm as well. I think that he could totally be a player's coach, but that's not my issue. My issue is the meddling with the GM and the front office with this team. And I don't think that part's going to go away. So regardless whether I think that Coach Sirianni could be a good coach, I think he's going to have just the high up just over his shoulder the entire time. It's going to make the whole situation a lot more messy.
Moneybags in the chat says this season hasn't even started and I got bad vibes already.
Now get that out of your system, man.
We got a draft coming a draft coming a week away. Okay. we should feel a little bit better about ourselves. We're higher up in the draft. So we should get a better pick in theory, right? I think Andy Weidel, I think he was in there trying to hold down his piece as the guy in charge of the scouting department, the guy that's gonna get this team back on the right track. And I think he was trying to instill confidence in the fan base and saying that, hey man, we're gonna get it together. You know, they kept on repeating the same thing about, you know, we had a good off season. We met together last week. You know, we're getting the guys back in the building. We feel good. I forget who asked the question. I think it was Tim McManus about the first two picks of last year and how those first two picks went off the board. You know, they really
he said it in a nice way. He said it in a very nice way. Like, yeah. They were booty. What did you do? You know, I mean, better this year, or what do you feel like you're going to do better this year?
But they didn't speak to the answer to the question of saying, yeah, you know, you guys veered off the board.
They did a banana route. You know what I mean? Like they just worked around.
They just put their foot in the ground and they went the other way.
So I mean, the fact that they ignored to answer that question, they didn't dumb it down at all. They're just like, oh, we're not going to touch that one.
Yeah.
How did that make you guys feel?
I mean, listen, some of these reporters, man, they were pretty aggressive yesterday. And I like that, even though, you know, I mean, we still got the runaround. But I mean, like, there were some answers that, you know, like definitely got my attention, especially when they started talking about the offensive line, you know, like how they got pretty much a lot of confidence in Isaac and, you know, Slater and the other guy, I can't remember his name, isn't going to be much of a concern, even though that's what like a lot of people feel like we're going to go that route. So, I mean, just hearing that, it was just like a little bit of a relief, you know what I mean? So, hey, we'll just see.
But is it a smoke screen? Are they saying that?
It could be definitely smoke up our asses, definitely.
But that's the part where you have to like get in tune with that. This is smokescreen season, and you know this is the dog and pony show. Like you have to be see the bells and the whistles, and you're like they're saying things that they're gearing you up to think about. Like you know they mentioned like size an issue with you know thinking about Devonta Smith.
Yeah,
you know. You know, trying to
light. Yeah.
You know, I think Jimmy Kempsky talked about Rashawn Slater and Vera Tucker.
Vera Tucker. That was his name. Yeah.
You know, trying to gear you up and get you in the right mind space of like, they're not going to botch this draft up. Trying to keep you in that space. And I'm going to be honest. I don't. I think I feel a little bit confident from last season. But I think from last season, the mistakes that they made, they got to be they know everyone's watching. We're all watching. We were watching closely, intently. So each pick, especially in the first three rounds, this shit all has to make sense.
Could you like just take yourself back like pretty much a year ago today and just think about like what were your thought? What was your thought going into last year's draft? Were you hopeful? Were you optimistic? Or were you cynical?
I was hopeful. I was, you know, and I'm not going to still change my mind about what I would say. I was Justin Jefferson all the way in that first round.
You were. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like all in, and I was one that was at the edge of my seat, ready for that pick to be made. And no, we tanked. We tanked on that one. Then the whole Jalen Hurts was like, oh shit. You know what I mean? Now we're going to have a controversy in our hands. You know what I mean? And that was the other thing yesterday that I love how I can't remember who the reporter was, but they were asking the question like about, you know, and I'm pretty sure we're going to touch upon this, is like, is Jalen Hurts going to go ahead and be the starter? Another question that they were just avoiding to go ahead and answer. And it was like, they didn't answer it at all. And then that reporter was like, oh, hell no. I'm not ready to give up my turn yet. I asked the question, is Jalen Hurts that guy? And then that's where Nick just took it. It was like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and make everything and every position competitive.
Okay. It's competition based.
Yep.
Although you might say that they're disrespecting him. This is new coaching staff.
Disrespecting who? You talking about Hurts?
Yeah, some people are like, they're disrespecting Hurts again. Why don't they just name him? This is not how it works, man. This is not how it works. In your heart, you might want to hear them say QB1 right off the bat, but it's not that case. I mean, they have to keep this facade going. This is smokescreen season, so obviously they have to keep that vibe going until the draft happens. They might be saying this stuff out here for everybody else out in the league to listen to, but after the draft, they might have a different mindset. So it's like, you know, going back to your question, Evan, like I felt very confident that they would draft a quality wide receiver because it was, tons of wide receivers that I was high on. You know, I had Justin Jefferson ranked higher than Rager prior to the draft. I said it's going to come down to Justin Jefferson and Rager, and that's what it happened. The fact that they want Rager, I was surprised that they went Rager over Jefferson, but I was still also high on Rager. I had Justin Jefferson as a one, and I had Rager as a 1-2, which was, you know, right where
they fell. Yeah,
they fell.
The back end of the one. Yeah,
in the second round, the Jeremy Chinn vibes were there with all of us, and then when they went Hurts, you're just like, bro, this y'all are doing some. You know, like I was like, and then they went Davion Taylor, and you're like, that's a little bit earlier for, you know,
but like just getting back to his comment and what Prime brought up just about how they refused to say that they gave it an open competition. They say that Hurts isn't 100% the starter. That to me doesn't at all mean that Joe Flacco is competing for the position. That to me means that. I mean, there was a story that came out yesterday about Justin Fields and how he suffers with epilepsy. Could that drop him down the board? And are they possibly thinking about, you know, if Justin Fields were to fall, we don't want to just come out right and say Jalen Hurts is the guy because we are potentially eyeing up a quarterback if he were to fall to us.
I mean, you keep those vibes, but again, that doesn't mean anything to me. I think just the Justin Fields thing with his situation, Alan Fenica had it. And also Tiki Barber had the same situation. It's controlled by medicine.
Medication.
So I was watching a couple of doctors' comments, and they said it should be fine. You shouldn't have any issues with it. I guess they can grow out of it. But, Mahala from Facebook says, do you guys think we need to move back into the top 10? The Giants and Cowboys can snatch players we're looking at.
I'm scared, man. I've been saying this for the past couple of days. I'm so now at the point where I'm comfortable at being at number 12 or again, maybe even trading down and picking up some more picks. But going back up top, if they were to make that move, I honestly would get scared that they're going to go ahead and fuck it up. That's where I'm at with that.
I think that sort of move would have to be made literally during the draft, obviously, and not like any time leading up to it. I think that's one of those things that if they see someone that they're really eyeing up that is falling and they reach like 8 or 9, I could see them trading up. But I think that they're is a lot of guys that are going to be, I think we're going to have our choice pretty much at 12 of players that we would want on this team. And so it all depends on who ends up falling to 9. If there is like a blue chip item that ends up falling farther than they ever anticipated, I could totally see them moving back up. But other than that, if they anticipate like a JC Horn or Devontae Smith being there at 12, I think that they would just sit there at 12.
Yeah. Gotcha. I mean, if they feel like they love somebody and who's fallen, I think they would probably make that move if they had to. Talking about, you know, where would they move up to? You know, that Panthers pick, 8, number 8.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, I'm already, you know, there should be a player there. I mean, you talk about, you know, you could have Waddle there, you could have Devonta Smith, you could have J.C. Horn. I think Patrick Surtain, some might have him higher than most. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we're at a spot where we could get a solid player. And again, like I've said on many of our shows, Rashawn Slater is not a bad pick. I said people would freak out because they're like all this talk about Chase Pitts. And now we're picking again. We're talking 30-30 club from center to right tackle. Mm-hmm. Our guys are up there.
And let me back up a little bit. All right. So to be more clear, like I honestly feel like if we were to go back up to 5 or 6, I'll be scared. But if I'm reading some of these comments here, and if we find a way to get back in front of our division rivals, I'm all with it. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, I don't want them grabbing somebody. We, you know, that's been the competition for the past, what, 3-4 drafts. Mm-hmm. We either grab somebody they want or they grab somebody we want. And I'm pretty sure the way things have been going, it's going to probably go like that again. You know what I mean? So I'm all about definitely getting a draft pick in front of them. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. The chat is spicy here. He said the P League. He says, boys, these Sirianni takes are trash. Who gives a damn how he sounds at the press conference? I think he's talking to you, Evan, because
I think curb, it's a valid curb point. Stomping. I was curb stomping, but the point is that I agree with you. I'm simply saying we have a small sample size to work with here. I just want my coach to come in here and say some things that just get me excited for the team, and that just simply hasn't happened yet. I'm not saying Sirianni's going to be a bad coach. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying he hasn't said anything to get me excited for this team yet. That's where I stand.
There's one thing about Evan that he will always speak his mind. He's not a guy to mince his words. He comes from the heart, shoots from the hip, and will never, ever pay overpriced for anything.
Gail knows me to a T.
So when Evan says that, he's like, yeah, you know, there's no malice in his words. I think Evan is just saying that he is not wiggled yet. Nothing has moved to the point in his mind,
yeah,
I guess is there such thing as a new coach smell? Yeah, new car smell. You're like, yeah, it's a new car, but it doesn't feel like a new car to you. You're saying that someone drove it off the lot for a couple miles before. Is that what you're saying? You're not getting new coach vibe? Well,
it's kind of like if so say like you were to rush into a relationship, right? And then she's already your girlfriend. And then you're like maybe like 2 weeks in, you're sitting there like, did I like rush things here? Did I move a little bit too quick?
You stealing wings, bro.
Evan was the guy that stole wings from boxes when he was delivering food.
Oh fuck, I forgot I told that story. Yeah. Dude, you get hungry while delivering, man. Now, yeah, you deliver 100 wings to somebody, they're not gonna notice if only 99 show up. Let's be real.
Very questionable.
Nowadays you'd be surprised.
If Evan was a draft prospect, that would be a major red flag. I'm like, yeah. Bro runs like a 4.4 40. Steals chicken wings.
Steals chicken wings. And he stole the wing. Hey, James.
Doesn't pay over price.
Jameis Winston still got drafted number 1 overall. He was stealing crab legs. It's way more expensive.
Crab legs. Nick from YouTube says, hi, guys. Are the Eagles the weakest team in the division going into the new season, even with the draft? I think from a outsider's perspective, looking in, you might think there's a little turmoil going on with this team right at the moment. Mm-hmm. New coach. I wouldn't say turmoil, but I think there was some bad blood from last season, especially in the locker room. And I think with the whole COVID situation, I think they really went through it. I think you'd have to feel good about some new vibes, but there could be some bumps in the road. I mean, we don't know the identity of this football team.
Absolutely. And I mean, as we stand right now in April, prior to the draft, I would put probably the Washington football team and the Cowboys ahead of us at this moment. I think that we could compete right now with the Giants, but this could all change. All this opinion could change next week after the draft or as we get closer to the season.
But I want this mindset. I want this mindset. I want people to think their opposing teams playing the Eagles. I want them to feel that the Eagles are this team.
Yeah.
Because this is, I mean, they say you don't kick a sleeping dog, and this team could be the sleeping dog if they get their act together. I mean, identity culture is a real thing. Jimmy Blanco says it's Waddle 100% or Smith, unless they mess it up. I don't think Horn or Surtain are going to make it to 12. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I did say to Gail just a couple weeks ago, voicing my concerns about I don't think that Horn is going to last to 12 personally. But that could just be one more person. If Horn gets selected prior to us, that could be one more person that falls. That could be a Waddle or a Smith or a Surtain that falls. Honestly, if any four of those guys fall to us, I'm very happy.
That's just the thing. You said it right there. Four. Mm-hmm. Four guys, four potentials that could easily just drop down to us. It's not like we're worried about that one person dropping all the way down to 12. We're talking about four. So we're going to be fine. You know what I mean? Once we get through all the other 11 picks, there's four potentials out there that we could easily just pick from. And all four are studs.
Mm-hmm. And now the P-League, he comes back and says, that, you know, I feel y'all. I meant more local radio and such. I just want to win some effing football games. And again, man, you know, if you guys know us and you've been listening long enough, we do shoot from the hip. And we're not going to, like, again, I don't get anything from bashing Sirianni coming in. I mean, we all have jokes. We have fun. We poke fun and whatever. But if that was his idea of getting some competitive edge from his own experience, like if you not watch Talk to Prospect, we're talking with prospects and asking them weird questions. Mm-hmm. Our last prospect, Chase Barrett from West Virginia, is at the center. I asked him if there was five people alive or dead you could eat with, who would they be and why? I just want to see.
Who he thinks about, who his idols are. Yeah.
He was like Chris Farley, John Belushi, and like, you know, it shows you something from the character. And if you want to see prospects and see how they're competitive, they are.
He had a great personality.
Like, who's that?
Who you just said?
Chase Barron. Yeah. He's cool.
Yeah. He's a cool guy.
But was that a sign that, you know, that it could have been when he said rock, paper, shoot? We know the wide receivers from Alabama do such thing.
Everybody wants it, so we all in the game. So they rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to run it.
Ooh, level.
Is that the tape Sirianni's already been checking out? I don't know.
Sirianni done brought that game back to life. Everybody's going to kill that game from here on out.
Oh, yeah, because nobody's been playing rock, paper, scissors until Nick Sirianni brought it up.
Jimmy has another question from Facebook. He says, how far do you think Farley will drop? If we can get Smith or Waddle and then Farley drops to the end of the first, I would make that move.
With his injury history, I could see him lasting 37 potentially.
I think he goes before at the end of from end mid of to the end of the first. I feel like with that kind of upside, I think, you know, he does have the two back injuries. One was done while working out. The other one was during the season. I think he was having back spasms. Mm-hmm. And then he had the ACL prior to that. I think back end of the first or mid to back end of the first. But I don't think he's going to make it to 37. Is he potential move-up target? Imagine that, man. Imagine
Devontae Smith and Caleb Farley.
or a J.C. Horn and a Farley. Ooh. Lock it up. Yeah. Lock it up for the next 20 years.
That's hopeful. 20 years.
Todd on YouTube has a question. This is for Evan because he is pretty much the cheerleader of the JOK squad. He says, y'all boys ready for the JOK number 6 jersey?
That shit would look hot. Oh, my God, bro. If we got JOK, I mean, Gale is over here, and he's just like, he's just stewing right now looking at me. Am I like, you're like, Evan, it's not going to happen. You know damn well the Eagles aren't going to take a linebacker in the first round.
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big man.
Want them to surprise me, God damn it. That's all I want is them to take a leap of faith. I think he's a fantastic player. I think he's potentially the best linebacker in the draft. Go after him. The dude, he's very versatile, man.
I like his game. I think he's that new age linebacker. Mm-hmm. Can play in space and come down and thump.
But he brings up the single digit jerseys. That was something that was, you know, a rule change that was just made. What's your guys' thoughts? I mean, are you going to have to clean out your closets now? Update your jerseys?
Yeah, I'm rocking Randall Cunningham, keeping it old school.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't got to buy no other jerseys. I got my own. I got my own number one jersey with my name on it. Before Hurts, I got my own number one. That was my jersey number.
I think I'm gonna go the same route, man. I think I'm gonna go ahead and bring the volume down a little bit on the jerseys this year and just stick to just guarantees. Mm-hmm. Guarantees.
Maybe you buy your kid a new jersey.
You know, he's got one. He's got an Eagles fan zero. We're gonna keep it at that for a little bit. You know what I mean, we're gonna wait till he outgrows that. And then I'll get him his own personal. I'm gonna see what number he decides he wants to go with.
The Gilbert Arenas. Love it.
All right, I mean, can't go wrong with zero. Ain't nobody on the team ever going to have it.
It's his age. I mean, it works out.
Shout out to Sergeant Marcus Walker in the building. He says tailgate games of rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, yeah.
We could.
Come see me.
Marcus says, would you all be mad at the reach to go JOK at 12 in Asante later on?
Hey, listen, if we could get Kevin Costner to go ahead and make the pick for us, you know what I mean? I'm good with getting a Chad Bozeman. Let's go.
I wouldn't be okay with JOK at 12. I would be. I'm not going to say I'd be
this man.
I wouldn't be super pissed off because I like his play, but I'm not. Yeah, not at 12. Later, yes. If you're going to move back and get more picks, yeah, I'd be okay.
So what is the acceptable number to take him at? 15?
15, 16, 15, between 15 and 20, man.
We still talking about JOK? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, if you're going to move back again and you get him, but, like, again, like, I don't need to be moving back. Like, bro, we were at 6, man. Like, we were at 6. How far are you going to move back? Let's cut it out.
No, I agree with you. I really don't want to move back any further at this point. We were in the top 10, and for us to, like, be trading back into the top 10, I would be interested to see what that package would look like. If they're putting like Ertz in a package and maybe like a later round pick to move up a few spots up to like 9 or something like that. Yeah, I'm all for that. I mean, clear some money on the books, kind of moves us up, gets us a chance at a better player. I'd be for it.
Trey Delphia from Twitter. He says, we need to lock down D after those wide receivers in Dallas went off targeting anyone not named Slay. You feeling that? Corners in the house?
I would listen. I'm for it. If we went cornerback, I'm for it.
I'm with it too, man. I said that because, you know, he brings up a good point. The fact that not only Dallas, I mean, New York kind of, you know, they bunched up on their wide receivers in the offseason as well. So we see these guys twice a year, you know what I mean? Even potential, you know, we all go ham with each other. So, you know, there's a potential third game in there somewhere, somehow, and we gotta be ready for shit like that.
This is the draft. If like I've said it enough times on the show and on live streams that this draft really does fit our needs like per round. Like there are guys where we're picking at, there are guys. So I feel like even if you wanted to double up, triple up on corners, double up on corners, add a little seasoning of a safety in the third round, mm-hmm. or a Richie Grant or a.
When do we help out the wide receivers then? If we're going quarterback, safety, cornerback, when are we getting a wide receiver?
You go fourth round.
Oof.
But that's a major drop off.
I'm good with going back to back corners. Let's not push.
All right.
That.
Hey, we go JC Horn, maybe a, a Marshall. That's a nice combo, SEC combo.
For sure.
Terrace Marshall Jr. from LSU. That would be nice. And then sprinkle in a safety in the third round. Fourth round, a little guard, center versatility. Or a running back.
You still high on Rashad Bateman? You've been pushing Terrace Marshall really hard.
Well, I think Rashad would probably go first. It's the Rashad Bateman, Terrace Marshall slide. Could that happen? Some have said that it could. They recently came out with an injury history of Marshall, foot injuries and other such things. They say these injury things come out. Like today was the thing with the epilepsy thing with Justin Fields, and they come out. It's so interesting, right? 1 week before, how clever, man. I mean, they don't ever talk about. They'll talk about all these other Farley's issues, right? They don't talk about. You hear anybody talk about Newsom's issues?
No. That's another guy that's kind of just flying under the radar.
He missed like almost how many games did he miss? Or they don't talk about Jamar Chase's PCL injury he had in high school, but we're talking about Marshall Jr.'s foot injury.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's draft season, smoke season.
Yep.
Smoke season. That's pretty much what that press conference was today, man. It was pretty much smoke screen. But people lose it over anything Eagles these days because we're in a pandemic. Yeah. We have nothing better to do. I mean, I would have been doing this anyway, though. Like, that's what we do.
That is what we do on the daily.
This is what we talk about every day. It's not new. Nidal says, if the Eagles skip on Smith and he's there, I'm going to lose it.
Depends on who we take, but I agree with you. That would be very, very hard for me to pass up on Devontae Smith. Dude's explosive.
Now, the new news on the timeline is Devontae Smith is now weighing in at $166.
I'd love to donate some poundage. I really would. If we could just meet in the middle somewhere.
Well, you want him? Well, 17, four more pounds make you feel better? About yourself?
I'll give him 30 pounds. Shit. Yeah.
I'll give him 10 of mine.
I'll give him 10 of mine. Right there, he's got 50.
I just feel like, I said it on the timeline. I tweeted out. This dude, as a freshman, caught the game-winning touchdown as a freshman to win a natty, right? He broke the record for how many catches in a score in the first half of a game?
Yeah.
In a natty. That's two natties on his resume. SEC player of the offensive player of the year. Unanimous All-American. Heisman. Sprinkle the Heisman on there. He did all that at 166. And if the tape showed that if it was an issue, we would talk about it.
He's going up against SEC cornerbacks out here. It's not like he's just going up against nobody's.
Birdman in the building. Give it a chirp on YouTube. Michael Wright, he says, my only problem with going cornerback early is the talent of wide receivers drop off a lot after Marshall Jr. Again,
it's true.
We have to see how our defense is set up. Are they going to let their defensive coordinator flourish? Or are they going to let Sirianni flourish? Is it an offensive game? Hey, man, if you get Waddle or you get Smith, you're talking about two guys that elevate the offense right away. Mm-hmm. It's not from day one, and they're Bama guys. It's been how long since we drafted a Bama guy? We're not talking about Jalen Hurts. He was Bama first in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we drafted Bama, so that would be nice.
Marcus Walker saying that defense is the priority right now. And I somewhat agree with you. The wide receivers is just ugly to look at, man. The defense is a major hole we got to fill, but it's not the only one.
Mark comes up with another question. This one would be for Prime. He says, does Julie and her husband get traded during draft?
I don't think it's going to happen, man.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I think Ertz could go.
Surprise, motherfucker.
You don't think he's going to get drafted? I mean, you don't think he's going to get traded on draft night?
Ertz will go. Julie stays.
Oh, okay.
She's always got a spot in the man cave.
Always got a spot, bro.
I think as much as I would hate to see him go on draft night, because it's just like you just got packaged with something and slipped in and you're out. You know, like I would have rather him been sent off when everyone else was getting traded, then hey, just put him in a package during draft night. We'll see you later. Hasta la vista. Thanks
for all your help.
All rise, small fries. Mark says Prime's getting a new roommate.
Shit. Oh, absolutely. You better
tell your wife. Hey, wife. Julie's coming over.
I got a friend
for dinner.
Coming over. She's going to be staying a while.
My peeps Jay is going to be coming over.
Brandon Brooks was also, it was made known that he is on the trading block. What's your boy's thoughts on that?
I mean, do you really want to trade a right guard with abs? Because that's an anomaly. That's a unicorn.
Can we even afford to trade any of our linemen?
Like, but someone was saying that the, it was a 14 million cap hit if you got traded. I don't know who has done the math on that yet, but I believe Adam Kaplan said that's been a known thing that he's been on the trading block. This guy's near and dear to my heart. Very solid dude.
I know.
But he's getting up there, and that if you talk about getting rid of Brandon Brooks, then Rashawn Slater
makes a whole lot more sense. 100%.
It's not the sexy pick. I've been saying it for, like, people are talking about it today. It's like, what are they talking about? I'm like, it's been being talked about for a long time now. Like, it's not the sexy pick, but it would be quality, man. Go watch him against Chase Young. You know what team Chase Young plays for?
The Washington football team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go watch him. You saw what he did to us.
Yeah.
This man held his own, man.
So who do you think gets more of a return? Ertz or Brooks?
Good question.
That is a good question. I mean, that two Achilles injuries, that's like Wolverine without his
claws.
Claws.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You know, I'll trade you Wolverine without the claws. You're like, hey, what are you giving me for that?
We just don't give him the Carfax history report.
What are you going to give me, a Nightcrawler? Trading me Nightcrawler for a Wolverine with two, you know? Yeah. What are you getting here? Oh, man.
That's a real good question, though. I mean, it's tough to go ahead and pinpoint that because it's like, yeah, I mean, the way Ertz is getting treated right now, it seems like they'll just go ahead and take anything to go ahead and get him off our roster. Mm-hmm. And then with Brooks, it's like we honestly haven't heard too much about it. But again, come draft night, anything can happen, man.
Well, people are talking about that 30 spot with the
Bills.
With the Bills. Mm-hmm. There was potential trade that was in talks, that they said, prior to the trading deadline. 30, 37 at Ertz. It's something else. Maybe could take something else, and you get back and get from 37 back into 30 on the night of the draft on first round. You know how geeked
two first
Eagle
round
fans
picks would be,
and that was something that Howie kind of like touched upon quite a bit yesterday on how he was explaining how the conversations that they have with like other teams and the interest that they pretty much just try to like build in with these conversations they have with them, and how he's quick to go ahead and just like cancel a team out knowing that they're full of shit. with some of these offers that they make. So the way I was just getting it is like, again, anything can happen. And I've heard that. I've heard about the whole 30 pick. And, you know, that's one potential trade that we could go ahead and possibly make. And the scenario you guys just brought up right there, that would be like the perfect one.
And it gives you more reason to stick around on our live draft. Fourth and John is going to be doing a live draft show. If you didn't know, now you know. Last year we did it 24 hours. I lost 3 days of my life. But we talked draft, man. I talked a lot of people off the edge. I talked a lot about Jalen Reagor. And again, that is not over. They talked about it in the presser. They said, you know, the jury's still out on these draft picks, so please don't sleep on them. Mark Byrd is now saying how he dealt the 6th pick too early. Imagine what he could have got this week.
I agree with him.
I mean, we did talk about that when it went down. We were like, was it a preemptive strike? Did he feel like no other teams were going to offer that spot with Miami trying to move back up? I thought it was a little too early. I'd rather have teams that are desperate come up on, you know, week of the draft, day of the draft.
They're willing to give up a lot more.
Get the ransom. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. Like, if Pitts was there at 6 and Chase is there at 6, I probably still might drive down to Novacare.
Yeah,
I still might.
Real talk. That's going to be something that, like, even before the Eagles are on the board, we are going to be eyeing up who goes at that 6th pick, because if it's one of those two guys, I guarantee you people are going to, there's going to be a lot of people that are upset, including myself.
Marcus was like, last year's draft was straight depression.
That was all of our facial expressions.
That was people were in
especially
shock.
In that second round pick. Yeah.
People, you know, it was like, I just, you know, everyone was had this mindset of like, we're gonna get CeeDee Lamb, we're gonna get CeeDee Lamb. Yep. Oh, all right, we're gonna get Justin Jefferson. Okay, and then they got Reagor, and they're like, I wasn't expecting that. and then Howie with the haymaker. In the second round?
Yeah.
That was like taking a cross iron to the face.
It's taking a bowling ball to the junk, man.
Everyone was calling their therapist after the second round. Good times, man. Good times. Todd says, I definitely appreciate the draft coverage from you guys last year. Salute.
Thank you, man.
Todd. Appreciate you. And hopefully you guys are sticking around, man. We're going to have some games. We're going to have some prizes.
Mm-hmm. Keep it interactive.
Maybe give some hats away. Maybe some draft hats away on that day. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we feeling the draft hat? I feel a little conflicted because I do want to give away some draft hats, but I am not really feeling the design.
I think they're all right.
I know Prime has one.
I got one.
I mean, Prime owns every hat that can be worn, though.
As long as you know.
If there was an Eagles top hat, that man would wear it.
Chris is in the building. Chris is in the building.
All right.
I don't know. Would you wear a draft hat?
I would. I mean,
I have one.
You know me. I've got no sense of fashion. So throw anything on.
He's like, oh, never overpay for anything. Never.
You say free 99?
I did send Hollywood Hearn some Vans this year.
You did?
Recycled Vans.
Wow. It cost them.
They were nice though.
Wow. There you go.
They're nice. hey man, I got tons of more Vans to give away. I got about 40 pair back there.
Ev, I got a bag for those, bro.
Todd is also co-signing the draft hats are kind of weak this year, but the draft hats alone make me feel like I might have a future in design or like coming up with concepts for Eagles hats.
I mean, I really thought they were going to go that route from the ones that they created, what, was it like 3 years ago, that one where they came up with the Philadelphia design? Like, it was horrible. It was probably one of the worst draft hats they had that year. Mm-hmm. That's one hat I do not have, and I'd be damned if I buy that one.
Yeah, but I'll buy it anyway just to buy it so I have a draft hat.
Like, nope. That's the one I skipped out on. I got a paper cut out of that.
the new one, the fitted hat, right? It has the see-through in the back.
You want me to go ahead and present it now?
Present it. We're spontaneous on the show. Shout out to Puga from El Paso. We'll be joining the live stream.
Look forward to seeing you, bud.
Hopefully you're bringing jokes.
Yeah. Little 5 minute set.
So they got the different designs. I went with the fitted hat. All right. I went with the fitted. It is the netting and the little trucker in the back. That's the design. I mean, I'm okay with it. I love the colors.
See, what is this see-through shit right here? This is like lingerie.
That's the way they're going nowadays. You know what I mean?
It's like lingerie. Like, you got a bald head, right? You got a bald, yeah. Like, I got a bald head, right? So the back is like see-through lingerie for your head.
That's all right, though. You know what I mean? I got no shame to my game. You know what I mean? I'll expose it however you want me to expose it.
But it doesn't look right with the bald head, is what I'm saying.
Negative.
Put it on.
No. I'm waiting until Thursday. I'm not gonna go. Nope, not doing that. I wear it the day of.
Love it. I love the superstition.
Trey's not feeling the snapbacks. He's a fitted.
No, you read that wrong, bro. He said the fitteds are a no for me. I love the snapbacks.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I was trying to like flip his mindset.
I was one that wasn't a fan of the snapbacks, but I got to tell you, I mean, not all of them are the right fit, but these snapbacks are just like getting better and better every year.
Yeah, man, them hats is like lingerie, dude. Like, what do you, a see-through hat in the back?
Yeah.
What do you want to see? Don't make no sense,
bro. Look at the one you're wearing right now. You're exposing that head already as it is.
Right? but I'm showing it to you. I'm not like, hey, there might be a bald head behind here,
that's worse. That's a peephole.
The show is officially going off the rails.
Mark wants to know what shoe size. Mark, you don't need to send me any shoes or anything like that. Size 10. I don't worry
sell
about it.
Sell it, bro. Sell it.
Pookie says the 2016 draft hat was the best. You guys remember that one?
I don't.
2016 draft hat. That was the one with the
the shiny thing.
Yes. Yes. That baby right here.
I don't know about that one either, guys.
I think that was one of the best ones.
It had the duck bill on the underneath, right?
Duck bill?
The eagle bill, I'm sorry.
Oh.
The eagle bill.
On the bottom of the hat, on
the bottom of the brim,
is that one that I said that I didn't want to get? I think that's the one that I'm talking about.
Oh, interesting.
I can't remember.
Interesting. Well, we went from talking about the press conference all the way to draft takes. We didn't even want to talk about the draft, but the people in the chat always want to talk about the draft.
Listen, I'm gonna be one to tell you that like this year's hype about the draft. It's kind of like drained me. I just can't wait till I hurry up and get here so we can just like move on and just like really start talking about the team. Cause it's like draft, like, when is it ever going to get here? But hey, look, 7 days away, it's getting closer and closer.
I know. And all of this hype that's around the draft is really, it's making me hopeful for the draft show. I hope to see a big turnout. I hope to talk to a lot of you guys live as the draft is going on. I think it could be a fun night, regardless of what the Eagles end up
making.
Well, yeah.
Two nights in all day.
Yes. It could be a fun 3 days.
Nice.
It would be make it a lot more fun if they end up picking the guys that we want them to pick.
Yes, absolutely.
Blue Cagoule coming in late, but we appreciate it.
We do.
You can always go back and watch it.
Yeah, the podcast will be up in a little bit.
But also, speaking of shows, Prime's having a show shortly.
Yes, sir.
Starting at 7:30. Rolling with Prime. We'll be introducing Mr. Tim Kincaid to the building, AZ fan. Also, you've probably seen him on some of the chats over here. But Rolling with Prime will be starting today.
Debuting. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Really souped up about that one, man. It's all about, you know what I mean, having that experience with other Philly fans, getting the privilege to go ahead and just talk fanatics, like, you know, what's it like to be a fan? And I'm really excited, man. I've been excited all day. Half an hour away. King, you know what I mean? He's souped just as much as I am. I got a lot of people that have been reaching out to me, showing me love today. Excited for the opportunity, and I'm ready to go, man.
Looking forward to watching it, man.
Any last words before we get out of here, Evan?
Yeah, because you guys aren't going to touch on it. I guess I'll have to. Happy Earth Day, everybody. I got my reusable water bottle here. Be sure to go out there and thank the Earth that all it's done for you.
Just so y'all know, that guy was prepared for this shit all day.
Get your mind straight. Just buckle in, because this next week is going to be filled with all sorts of leaks coming out. There's going to be all different news that's going to be popping on all these players that are going to be drafted. We're going to try and stay on top of all of it, and I hope to see everybody in the live draft shows. We're going to be going the whole time, so it's going to be pretty hard to miss us.
Prime.
7 days away, man. I mean, the excitement is just getting there more and more. I'm ready, man. I'm ready to just go ahead and move forward and bring on the next level of talent that, you know, these guys are going to go ahead and bring to this organization. So let's get it, man. Let's go.
Prime hates Earth.
Yo, no shout outs for Earth Day.
How dare you, man?
Yo, prior to the show, Evan's like, yo, man,
I'm rocking green. I mean, come on.
Happy Earth Day, man. I was like, yo, I don't know if
what is that?
All my favorite things are green, bro.
Bro, that was his word. What is that? What's Earth Day?
I was like, Earth Day. I was like, yo, we don't recycle over here, fam. No, I do recycle, man. I do recycle, man. You pull that out there, you make sure they come and pick it up, man.
Gail just shows up to the beach with a whole bunch of straws and just starts throwing them in there, shoving them in the turtles' noses.
And by the way, if you guys didn't peep it 5 minutes ago, he recycles.
I do recycle, man. Make sure
just showed us.
Make sure y'all recycle. Make sure you recycle. Make sure you guys subscribe. Make sure you check in during the live shows, the draft shows coming up. Prime shows come up. Rolling with Prime once again. We'll be on at 7:30 tonight. So probably in a half hour. So we're trying to produce two shows in one day.
That's what we do, baby.
We'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, it's Fly Eagles Fly.